Good morning. Let's pray. God, as we enter into this next part of the service, take some time to look into your word, and especially as we enter into this time of parent-child dedication, this opportunity for these families to acknowledge the blessing of children, the gift that you have given them, and also make a commitment to try and raise these kids in a home that honors you. And as we as a church gather around them in that, and also commit to saying, as a part of their community, we take some ownership, some responsibility, some part in being a part of supporting them as a family, speaking into their kids and their families as they take this journey. God, be with us through all of that. May you be honored and glorified as we look like the church in a beautiful way today through this process. In your name, amen. So last week, some of you know that we had an opportunity to take a trip with our family. We were traveling. We went to the northeast coast, to Washington, and to Baltimore with the kids. And we had the opportunity to do all sorts of incredible things there. We saw the Washington Monument and the Museum of Natural History and the Lincoln Memorial and the National Air and Space Museum and the National Aquarium. It was an awesome trip. But one of the highlights for our boys was something that was a little bit less flashy than that. When we were in Baltimore, we stayed in an area there called the Inner Harbor. It's a little bit like the Forks here. It's got lots of restaurants and shops and hotels and touristy things. And there was an area where you could, for far too much money, rent a little plastic pirate boat with a 3-horse electric motor and putt around in the harbor for a half an hour. And so we did this, and here's a picture of us there, the three of us, and then Aaron's the one taking the picture on this little boat. And what the kids found most exciting about this is that both of the boys got a chance to be the captain of the ship and to steer around for the while in this area. And when they got behind the wheel for the first time, this instinct kicks in for both of them. It's one of those wheels that you could turn, the kind of a pirate wheel, and you could go like a full 3 to 4 rotations before you hit your hard left or your hard right on it. But they would get behind this wheel and they would be excited to be in control, and they would start madly yanking on this wheel one way or another, kind of purposelessly, sort of pulling this wheel one way or another. They were just excited to sort of be in control. And so there were two pieces of advice that I needed to give them and to repeat often as we kind of putted around there in the harbor. The first piece of advice was this: don't steer just for the sake of steering. The very first thing you need to do is you need to pick a place that you're headed towards. Where are you going? Where do you want to get to? And then you plan a way to get to that place safely. Pick your destination. Now, there might be other boats that get in the way as we're going there. We might need to adjust our plan, but make a plan. Have an objective or a target or a location in mind. You need to be thinking ahead. What potential obstacles or boundaries or edges do you need to be aware of? But most of all, where are you headed? What's your destination? Have that in mind. And the second piece of advice, a big part of the reason that picking an intentional destination is so important, is that driving a little boat like this, especially one with a tiny little weak motor going about 2 miles an hour, is that the experience of driving a boat, excuse me boys, captaining a ship, is very, very different from riding a bike or a scooter or a golf cart or whatever else the boys had the opportunity to steer before. You don't get that same immediate feedback when you crank that wheel or when you shut off the engine or when you go in reverse. Everything is delayed. You crank the wheel, and then you wait, and you wait, and you start to feel yourself turning in the direction that you wanted it to go. But you have to be patient with steering. It requires trust and planning and consistency and intentionality to get where you want to go. And if you're not careful, for example, you might find yourself pinging off the side of a World War II era Coast Guard ship. So, why did I tell you this story? I feel like this one maybe isn't as subtle as I sometimes am with my analogies or stories. I imagine you can guess where I may be headed here, but we'll close that loop in a little bit. Today we have a very special service, parent-child dedication, where we take a moment as a church to celebrate God's faithfulness and goodness in these families as they have welcomed new life, to hear from them their commitment to see their child as a gift from God and raise them in a home that honors Christ, and also take a moment together as the church to commit to being a part of their community as their family grows. And I want to make the statement clear that a service like this isn't some diversion from what we normally do as church. It isn't some side service or some extra bonus. The reason we do this on a Sunday morning in this way is because we believe that this is an essential and significant way in which we are called to be the church, a community of believers who support each other and bear each other's burdens and lift each other up and pray for each other and exist in meaningful relationship and fellowship with each other. We also believe that the family is something that is created by God. It is God's design. It is good, this family unit. And mom or dad's love and care for a child, that gives us a picture in a special way of God's love for us. That the relationship and dependency and connection in a family gives us a picture of how we are called to relate to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about family and about children. And some of it can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes. I looked up the most popular verses on family in the Bible. I was curious what they would be. And there are verses on disciplining your child, things like discipline your son or daughter, and they will give you rest, Proverbs 29:17 says. They will give you delight to your heart. But then there's Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. That received 34 helpful votes on the Open Bible website. Lots of these verses, though, come with a cause and effect. In fact, Paul mentions this in Ephesians. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Paul's kind of going back to the Ten Commandments here, and he offers a little bit of commentary. He says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. If children honor their father and mother, here's this promise attached to this, what will happen? It will go well with them, and they will live long in the land. There's a promise for parents too in Scripture, Proverbs 22:6. Many of you know this verse, train a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a beautiful verse. Train a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And yet, my soul isn't totally settled when I read that verse. And I imagine for many of you parents out there, it's the same. We know that it's not quite so simple, is it? We know of parents who have trained their children in the way they should go, and those kids have parted from it. They've gone in a different direction. We know stories of children who have honored their parents, who have lived good lives, but that hasn't resulted in the life that Paul points out for us, this promise that he gives us. And so how do we hold on to a verse like this? I was chatting a little bit with my dad. My parents were with us on this trip out to Baltimore, and he was actually preparing himself to do a little bit of speaking. He gave the address at the SBC grad yesterday, and he was wrestling with the fact that nothing is ever really cut and dry. There's very little perfect math out there when it comes to living life. And so often things get unexpected twists, or they get more complicated or more nuanced or more confusing than you wish that they would. And he talked about a pastor that he had had, or a pastor he'd come into contact with, who told him once, he said, all my best sermons on parenting were preached before I had kids. All my best sermons on parenting were preached before I had kids. Because once you have kids, then the complexity and the confusion and the uncertainty of the world starts to get to you. The waves become more real. I could read a verse like that when I was younger, train a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I go, good. It's simple. It's easy. And then you have kids. And none of it seems quite so simple anymore. It's not so cut and dry. It's messy. And everyone up here dedicating a kid in these families that has had more than one kid. I remember when we had Sebastian and feeling like, man, we're making all sorts of mistakes. We're figuring this out. But by the time Sebastian hit two, we really felt like when the next one comes, now we have it figured out. We might not have gotten it quite right with Sebastian, but with August, we will definitely train him up in the way that he should go. And then we had August, and he was a completely different kid. The stuff that worked for Sebastian didn't work for him. He's got different motivations. He's got a different personality. He's got different fears. He's got different struggles. And you go, how am I going to do this? How do I figure this out? We know it's not a math equation. We know it's not 1 + 1 = 2 every time. Life teaches us that very quickly. Instead, I'm going to argue, and here we swing back around, I'm going to argue that we need to look at these verses, these statements about family and child raising, a little bit in the same way that we look at driving a plastic pirate ship around the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. It's clear that these verses are in a messier and more fluid world than one with a perfect one-to-one cause and effect. It seems to me what these verses do speak to is a general truth about intentionality and persistence. These verses are calling us to pick our destination, to be intentional about where we are focused, what our goal is, and then to be patient and consistent with steering, even when it feels like the boat isn't going quite where we thought it was going. Just like that little pirate ship, if we live our lives in a purely reactionary place, cranking hard on the steering wheel in one direction or another, reacting to whatever pops up in front of us, it's going to make for a chaotic and purposeless journey. We will be, as Paul says later in Ephesians, we are at risk of being tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind. We need to have our eye fixed on a destination. Sure, there will be surprises and obstacles and bumps on the journey, but we know what our North Star is. We know what we're aiming for. We also need to be aware that in life, and certainly in parenting, when you make a course change, when you set your bearing in a new direction, rarely, if ever, are you going to immediately see your view change. The changes you make take time in parenting, in families, to show themselves tangibly. That work starts beneath the surface. It takes time and momentum. It takes time for the momentum of that boat to readjust to the direction that you're headed. And if you, like my five-year-old, assume it isn't working properly and just swing the wheel back and forth, trying to make something happen, you'll find you don't get it all where you want it to be going. One of my favorite pictures of discipleship, of Christian growth, is from Eugene Peterson, who writes a book. It's one of those books where the lesson of the book is already in the title. You could just read the title and you've got half of it. The title is A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Discipleship in an Instant Society. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Steadfastness, intentionality, purpose, direction. These are the sorts of words that come to me when I consider the verses in Scripture on parenting and family. And today is a day that celebrates that. And it's about more than just these families. It's about all of us as a church picking a point on the horizon, living our lives with purpose. This moment today is not about these families saying, hey, we're going to get everything right. Here is exactly how it's going to go. Here is exactly what the future holds. Here is exactly what obstacles may come our way and exactly how we're going to respond when and if things happen. This moment is about us and them together saying we want to take this journey with purpose. We want to take this journey with intentionality, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, with gratefulness for the gift we have been given. And in the context of us, this community, Christ's body, the church, standing with these families as they make that statement. And that is something that I think is worth celebrating on a Sunday morning. Amen? Amen.